It is a real privilege to be able to be on the prayer line tonight. And I pray, Father, that you will open our ears to hear what you have to say to us tonight. Not just my words, but Father, pour into our heart your revelation. Let us see ourselves and you and the world in a way that we've just never seen before, and change our lives tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Tonight, we're going to uncover an insidious tool of the enemy where he takes advantage of our own behavior to pull down curses on us and on our lives. And the worst part about this trick that the enemy plays on us is that we don't even know where the curses are coming from. All we know is that life's beating us up. And tonight we're going to shed the light of God's word on this predicament, and we're going to connect some things that I hope you haven't seen before. And I'm going to give you a powerful tool to defeat the enemy and the curses and troubles that he's been sending your way. After tonight, if you'll follow this teaching and apply it, you'll move into a new place of God's blessing in your life. First of all, I want to tell you about termites, okay? You know, termites are these little ant-like insects. They actually live in the ground, but they eat wood. And I guess you could say they have a high-fiber diet, right? Well, the way they attack your home is from underneath. They come up from the ground under your home, and they begin to eat the wood of your house from the inside. Now, they don't like to be exposed to the open air, so at all costs, they avoid eating through the outside of a piece of wood. They'll eat the inside of a piece of wood, and you don't even know they're eating your house away because the outside of the wood there in your house looks normal. But if you press on a piece of wood that the termites are eating, the exterior of the wood crumbles away, and you can see what the termites have been eating on the inside. They can destroy your house, and you don't even know that they're there. Now, I've discovered an attitude, a way of thinking and speaking that's like termites to our lives. It's a destroyer of our lives on several levels, and we don't even notice it. It steals our happiness. It invites the devil into our lives. It drives away the Holy Spirit. With it, we feed bitterness in our hearts so that that bitterness grows. Through this way of speaking and thinking, we curse ourselves, we push God away, we nullify his blessings in our lives, we bring sickness and plagues into our lives, and we stick our fist in God's face, even though we don't intend to, and we say, I'm not thankful or grateful for your blessings in my life. You can just take them back. Now, I know that sounds pretty dramatic. So what in the world might I be talking about? What can wreak this kind of havoc in our lives? Surely it couldn't remain hidden. Surely it would be obvious and you'd notice it right away. Yeah, you would think, but remember we're talking about termites, right? The destroyers that you don't even know are eating away at your life. What I'm talking about tonight is grumbling and complaining, or as the Old Testament calls it, murmuring. Let me tell you how the Lord opened my eyes to this issue. Some friends of ours came to visit us not too long ago. We hadn't seen them for a while, and boy, we were really excited about this visit. I mean, they have been great powerhouses of the Holy Spirit, people full of faith and full of miracles. But as we spent some time with them, we noticed two things. First of all, they were just having lots of mysterious physical problems, you know, ailments and sicknesses, and they were fighting several spiritual battles, and they just weren't getting any victory. But the other thing we noticed that they just never did before is they were grumbling and complaining all the time. I mean, nothing suited them. Everything was better 20 years ago or somewhere else it was better. I mean, they complained about everything. And after spending several days with them, Debbie and I started noticing that they were bringing their curses down on our home. They were staying in our home. We had an invasion of insects while they were there. Our kitchen got infested with gnats and with pantry moths. And Debbie and I both started having pains and aches in the same places. If Debbie's right knee started hurting, my right knee would hurt. If my eyes were itchy, well, then her eyes would start itching. And it was like constant grumbling and complaining in our house, and that had opened up our home to curses. After several days of this, the Lord spoke to me. He said, there's a connection between the complaining and all the other reversals and troubles in their lives. And I began to see that grumbling and complaining was just the opposite of praising. It's the opposite of giving thanks, and it's the opposite of counting your blessings. You know, our attitude is kind of like a number line from negative on one side to positive on the other side and zero in the middle. Remember that in math class, they draw the number line up on the board, put a zero in the middle, and on the left side was negative, the right side was positive. When we praise God and we're thankful for all of his blessings, we're over there in that positive territory. Then we actually open up the windows of heaven for more blessings. But when we start to grumble and complain, we go over there into that negative territory, and it's like we're doing just the opposite of praising and giving thanksgiving. We're doing anti-praise, if you will. It's like we're saying we're not thankful. Our grumbling and complaining actually pulls down curses on our head, and it stops God's blessings. Let me show you what the scripture says about that. Turn to Numbers 14 with me. We're going to start there in the word. Numbers 14, the children of Israel are in the wilderness. God has told them he wants them to go into the land of Canaan. The spies have gone to spy out the land, and they came back with this, oh, woe is me, report. Okay, so we pick up the story in Numbers 14. We're going to start in verse 1. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices, and they cried, and the people wept that night. And all the sons of Israel grumbled. The King James says murmured, but my translation says grumbled. And all the sons of Israel grumbled or murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we just died here in the wilderness. Now, the people are murmuring against Moses and Aaron. They start grumbling and complaining. They're afraid that they're going to get destroyed by the inhabitants of Canaan. They're supposed to go take the land, but, you know, they got this bad report from these dumb spies. And so they start murmuring. That Hebrew word there that's translated murmur or complain is an idiom. The word itself actually means stop over to spend the night. And the use that the Hebrews put this word to is it paints a picture of somebody that's obstinate. In other words, although everybody else in the group wants to leave and make progress and move on with their journey, the one who murmurs is stubbornly obstinate. He refuses to continue on. He's holding up everybody else with his negative attitude, and he's just going to spend the night right there no matter where anybody else wants to go. That's kind of the picture that that word paints. Of course, in modern English, we use the term grumble and complain. So the people were grumbling. They were complaining against Moses. Moses set out a vision and a plan for them. And they were not only not going to budge to follow that plan, but they were going to give Moses and Aaron a piece of their mind. Now, look at verse 2. It says there that they grumbled and complained against Moses and Aaron. But look down in verse 27 of Numbers 14. And this is God talking to Moses and Aaron, and he says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? You see, God said, I take this personally. When they're complaining, they're not complaining and grumbling against you. They're grumbling and complaining against me. If we continue reading on verse 28, this is what God says. He said, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I'll surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in the wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number, with 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Now keep that in mind. The ones that are going to die are the ones who've grumbled. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle to you, except Caleb and Joshua. Your children, however, whom you said would become prey, I'm going to make sure that I bring them in to the land that you rejected. But as for you, your corpses will fall in the wilderness. So the Lord lays out the consequences of their grumbling and complaining. Now look, some have said, well, they're being punished for their lack of faith. But you know what? Their lack of faith manifested in the grumbling and complaining. And then others have said, well, no, they're being punished for their fear. And that fear led them then to not trust God. But you know what? Their fear and their lack of faith or trust were manifested in their complaining. Notice in verse 27 there that when God describes why he's punishing them, he doesn't say, I'm punishing you for lack of faith. He doesn't say, I'm punishing you for fear. He says, I'm punishing you because of your murmuring. That is, your complaining. Now, there's some things we can kind of glean from this story here. And the first one is that when we grumble and complain against somebody, we're actually grumbling and complaining against God. How in the world can that be? Well, as a subject of the kingdom of God, my provision, my welfare, my protection is all God's responsibility. Now, he may delegate that or some of that responsibility to a human being like the Lord has placed over me, a bishop in our church government. And even when my bishop doesn't do exactly what's right, it's still up to my heavenly Father to deal with him and make up for that. And when I complain against my bishop, my legal spiritual authority, in reality, I'm complaining against God who put that bishop over me. Moses was just God's delegated human authority. And when they complained against Moses, they were complaining against the one who gave Moses the job. That was God. And it's even worse when we complain against a coworker. Look at Romans 14:4. This is a great verse to keep in mind. Romans 14, verse 4 says, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. What he says is, how in the world can you judge somebody else's servant? Listen, when you complain against somebody who is not in authority over you, you're complaining against someone else's servant. You're complaining against God because God is the one that's responsible for their life. When you complain and grumble about life in general, you're still complaining against God because he's the giver of life that you're complaining about. Now remember, complaining is negative praise. When you complain about something, listen, this is what you're saying. God, I don't appreciate your blessings. I despise what you've given me and what you've done for me. I don't think you're doing a very good job keeping your covenant with me. It doesn't appear that you know what you're doing. You often get it wrong. Otherwise, I wouldn't have anything to complain about. Now, I know that sounds scary, but that's what negative praise sounds like. Listen, let me tell you some other words we use in complaining and grumbling. You know, their coffee is always awful. And anyhow, it's always too hot. Or, I don't know why he thinks he has to preach so long. Doesn't he know that we have other things to do today? Or, I just hate windy days like today. I've been guilty of that one. You would think she'd know better than to treat me that way. Doesn't she know who I am? I've never seen such a disorganized Sunday school program. I can't hardly wait until this old car dies so I can get another one. You know, it's just grumbling and complaining, right? My bishop, he just doesn't notice me enough. I hate those stupid neighbors. If it's not the loud music, it's their stupid dog in their yard. You hear what that's saying? God, I don't appreciate where you put me. I don't appreciate the neighbors you gave me. Or we say, my boss couldn't manage his way out of a paper bag. We're really saying, God, I don't appreciate the boss you've given me or the job you've given me. Or you say, I hate this crummy job. God, I don't like the job you have provided for me. Are you getting the picture yet about what grumbling and complaining is? Okay, now the second thing I think we can get out of this story is that when you grumble and complain, you can expect things to get worse, not better. That's because your complaining is going to call down trouble on your head. Now, turn to Isaiah 3, and I want to show you what I'm talking about. Isaiah 3. Verses 8 and 9. The word makes this clear, but if you don't know what you're looking for, you might miss it. Isaiah 3, starting in verse 8. For Jerusalem has stumbled, and Judah has fallen, because their speech, that's their words, and their actions are against me, says the Lord. They rebel against his glorious presence. The expression of their faces bears witness against them. They display their sin like Sodom. They do not even conceal it. Listen, woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. What he's saying is that Israel and Judah are condemned because of both words and action. The prophet says that since their words and actions are against God, that they're bringing evil down on themselves. Look, I'm not talking about you go to a restaurant and you get a steak that's not cooked right, okay? You know, when you order a steak at the restaurant and you tell them you want it well done and it comes out bloody in the middle, you don't have to grumble and complain about that. You can point out to the waiter in a real nice way that the steak that you brought me, Mr. Waiter, wasn't cooked the way I ordered it, and I'd really appreciate it if you guys could have another go at this and see if you can get it right. That's not grumbling and complaining. Oh, you could grumble and complain about that, but not grumbling and complaining doesn't mean that you never insist on excellence or you don't insist on what's right, okay? Let me tell you a story. The other day, I had been studying about the medical records requirements that the federal government is placing on all doctors and hospitals. I know a lot of you Kenyans are nurses and in the medical field, and so I know you're probably struggling with this now. It's a big deal where everybody's got to get on this federal mandate. And so I was explaining this to Debbie and talking to her about it. And I said, look, this gives the federal government access to our medical records, and I just don't think that's right. I think it's way too intrusive in our personal lives, and in my opinion, it's antithetical to our country's constitution, and that means that in my mind, it's illegal to require doctors to collect and make available all this data, and all I was going on and on. I mean, I was feeling really self-righteous, right? But you know what? I was complaining. And in doing so, I was calling down curses on me and on my country. So what should I have done? Just ignore the situation? No. If I'm not going to run for office, you know, and get into politics so I can change things, well, maybe I can contribute money to a group that is going to fight this politically. But, you know, the one thing that's probably the most effective thing I can do and is usually, shame on me, the thing I think about last, is I can pray and intercede for this country, for the politicians, for the poor doctors and hospitals that have to go through this. I can certainly pray for our civil leaders and elected authorities. I'm commanded by God to do that. That's what I ought to be doing instead of grumbling and complaining. And I can do all those positive things, and I don't ever have to descend into that negative territory. Now, the third thing I think we can get out of this story is that when we grumble and complain, we take ourselves out from under God's protection. We're in Isaiah there. Turn to chapter 5 and verses 3 through 6. Let's read that. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. Let me set this up for you. God has been talking about, hey, I have a vineyard. I have put a hedge of protection around it. I have planted the choicest vines. I've taken care of everything. He says, for what more was there that I could do for my vineyard that I have not done? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones or rotten grapes? So now let me tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge and it's going to be consumed. I will break down its walls and it will become a trampled ground. I will allow it to be laid waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to not rain on my vineyard. God's going to tear down the walls around his vineyard, and he's going to stop the rain. The walls, of course, are his protection. The rain is his blessing. Grumbling and complaining produces worthless fruit. That's what he's talking about here. Worthless grapes out of his vineyard. It not only doesn't provide good fruit, grumbling and complaining actually brings evil with it. It sucks away the good and the productivity, and it replaces it with negativity and evil. Remember the story about the people bringing the curse of insects into our house? Technically, God didn't send that plague of gnats into our house, but his protection against that kind of curse was lifted because these people came into our house with their constant negativity and complaining. And I can tell you, Debbie and I contributed to that some ourselves. And so with God's protection lifted and our wall of protection torn down like that, those gnats came right in. There was nothing to stop them. Well, turn to Ephesians 4. Let's talk a little bit about what in the world can we do to help us not grumble and complain. Ephesians 4. We're going to start in verse 29. Paul is talking here about how to guard our communications. And he says, let no unwholesome or rotten words, that's like the rotten grapes God was talking about in Isaiah, let no rotten word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, the context here is what you say. The Holy Spirit by whom you've been sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, let that be put away from you along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So he's saying guard your communications to ensure that your communication's good. First of all, can we describe grumbling and complaining as bad communications? Can we say grumbling and complaining is not edifying? See, he says in verse 29 that our words should be edifying. Edifying means that it builds up. But, you know, by contrast, grumbling and complaining, that's all about tearing down, right? Here Paul tells us to guard our communications. That means we have to watch what we say. Let me give you a good guideline here. You should never offer an opinion where you have no authority or responsibility. That means that if I am not in a place to fix it, I shouldn't complain about it or offer a negative opinion about it. You should never offer an opinion, especially a negative opinion, where you have no authority or no responsibility. Now let's look again in verse 29. He says that good communications, the end of the verse, brings grace to those who hear it. That is, it ministers grace to those around you. Well, if that's the case, then what do you think your grumbling and complaining ministers? When you murmur and complain, you're ministering a tearing down. You're ministering a knocking out of the supports. And then to make matters worse, verse 30 says that you'll run the Holy Spirit off. I mean, he'll leave us. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit gets grieved. He distances himself from us. You notice verse 30 starts with the word and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That word and connects it back up to verse 29. What's verse 29 talking about? It's talking about let your communications be good, not bad, right? So when our communication is negative and in murmuring and degrading, we actually grieve the Holy Spirit. None of us want to do that. We don't want to put him off at a distance. But listen, that's exactly what we do every time our communications is driven by bitterness and complaining. And then in verse 31, he talks about putting away bitterness and evil speaking that it engenders. Well, certainly grumbling and complaining, the way he puts it, it's clear that the grumbling and complaining comes out of our heart and not out of our mouths. Let me give you another thought to think about. Those who do something for someone out of obligation, they're likely to complain and grumble about what they have to do. But you know what? If you do something out of passionate love for someone, you're never going to complain, no matter how hard it is, no matter what you have to sacrifice. Let's let all of our communications come out of a pure heart of love for those around us so that we'll be willing to do it and bear whatever we have to without grumbling and complaining. Well, let me wrap up. Our words are alive. They create life and they create death, right? And if that's true, then why would our negative words of grumbling and complaining not create death and destruction in our lives? Of course they will. I know a lady who is a spirit-filled woman. She loves to soak in the presence of the Lord. And I mean, she is always praying and talking to the Lord. If she's not talking to somebody nearby, she's sitting there praying, speaking in tongues. I mean, she's very concerned about doing and saying what's right, and yet she's being crippled by arthritis. All kinds of prayers from all kinds of people seem to have no effect. Well, as I started praying for her and praying about this arthritis, the Lord reminded me of something, and that is that she's a grumbler and a complainer. She can find fault in almost everything and everyone around her. I mean, she may start off seeing something good, but then she follows it with something negative. Like, you know, you'll tell her about some situation that you've heard about, and she'll say, well, it's doing well, but. And then she'll make some kind of dig or criticism. Or she'll, well, but they're off here or there. Or, well, it's going okay, but it could be so much better if, you know, if they do something. Or if they just listen to the Lord, or if they would just pray more, or if they would live more holy lives, or if they just shouldn't say what they say. I mean, those kinds of things. You see what I mean? Everything she sees has a negative lining around it. And so I believe that her constant murmuring, grumbling, complaining has opened the door for the enemy and has brought on this arthritis. So now when I pray for her, I don't just pray that she'll be healed, and I don't just drive away that spirit of arthritis. I pray that her eyes will be opened and that she'll see the evil, destructive nature of that grumbling and complaining, that she'll see how this is bringing curses and calamity into her life, and that she'll repent. That means turn around, and that she'll put a guard on her mouth. And so I say, let us pray that each day for ourselves and our loved ones. Lord, put a watch guard on my lips. Whenever anything negative or any murmur comes out of my mouth, tell me about it, Lord, right away so I can better remember the next time not to think or talk that way. Show me the bitterness, Lord. Show me the unforgiveness that I'm carrying around and give me grace to let go of it. Ask those around you to be an accountability partner with you on this. Explain to them what you're trying to do, that you're trying to just completely remove from your vocabulary any grumbling, complaining, murmuring, negative communications, and ask them to stop you and tell you when you fall into that kind of negative communications. And if they're good friends, they'll let you do the same with them, and the two of you together can work together to stop the termites eating away at our lives, these termites of grumbling and complaining that call curses down on us. And I will end there and say God bless you.